Good afternoon, everybody. I'm going to be speaking about landscape burning in northern Australia, but I must start off by saying how great it is to be down in Canberra in summer and have an opportunity to put on a jacket that otherwise doesn't get much use. Northern Australia is where the great majority of fires in Australia occur, where the great majority of prescribed burning occurs, and where big fires occur pretty well every single year. In northern Australia, fire intensity is relatively low. Human population is very sparse, and so protection of life and property is not a dominant issue. So in many ways, I feel a bit like Jerry Williams coming from a different country, but I think there's still some lessons from the north that can be applied down south, at least relevant for southern fires. So here's a northern Australian experience from my perspective. First and foremost, it seems pretty clear that the root cause of conflict in landscape management is conflict in landscape values. Northern Australian landscapes have competing values primarily in biodiversity conservation, grazing by cattle, and Aboriginal cultural and natural resource management. And it's clear that there are trade-offs between these values. Last week I was at Mornington Station in the central Kimberley region of far northern Western Australia, seeing if the bushfire CRC can add some value to the very impressive fire research and monitoring program that's already going on there. Mornington was historically managed as a cattle station and is now being managed by the Australian Nature Conservancy. After 3 years of destocking, small mammal abundance has increased fivefold. Second point to make is that most ecosystems are resilient to a single fire event. A single fire is rarely destructive from an ecological point of view, despite how blackened the landscape may look. And I think Richard Norris made this point very well. From an ecological perspective, we need to look at the pattern of burning over the longer time, the fire regime, and not individual fires. And I'll give an example from a large-scale fire experiment we conducted at Kapalga in Kakadu National Park. One of the iconic species up in the north is the frilled lizard. I'm sure you're all familiar with it. Frilled lizards suffer very significant mortality under the relatively high-intensity late-season fires that routinely sweep through the country. Up to about 30% of frilled lizards are killed by those fires. Yet, frilled lizard populations are highest under regimes of frequent high fires of high fire intensity, simply because the habitat created by those fires favours frilled lizards. The third point I'd like to make is that even moderate amounts of prescribed burning are not always sufficient to control big fires that burn under extreme weather conditions. So, for example, back to Mornington, last year the staff spent a lot of time putting in a carefully planned prescribed burning program to protect their biodiversity assets early in last dry season, but a big fire came through later in the year and burnt out much of the property. A similar situation occurred in Western Arnhem Land also last year, despite considerable prescribed burning in that region. The amount of fuel reduction either by burning or grazing required to exercise serious control over big fires will inevitably have significant impacts on conservation values. Simply put, fire fuels are wildlife habitat. Most wildlife populations can cope okay with the short-term influence of a single fire event on their habitat, but they don't cope so well with persistent longer-term impacts on their habitat. As an example, extensive overgrazing throughout much of the rangelands of central and northern Queensland have effectively controlled fire throughout that region. Biodiversity values have declined remarkably in that region to the extent that a range of animal species are now locally and regionally extinct. Similarly, frequent prescribed burning will have a significant impact on biodiversity values simply because frequent fire reduces the structural complexity of vegetation, which is important for a range of key, particularly animal species. So in summary, the experience in northern Australia tells us that effective fire management requires a very clear understanding of the trade-offs between different values affected by fire management, because those trade-offs are very real. Management of these trade-offs need to be tuned to the priority objectives of the land to be managed. Thanks very much.